Today, I'm asking you to go on a journey with me, and inspired by Revelation 14, those verses we have today, when John says, "I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and peace people." I'm going to go take you on a journey, and we're going to go from here in Gurnee in Lake County to Montana, to Maryland, to the Isle of Patmos, where St. John wrote Revelation, to Germany, back to Gurnee. And we'll go from here with us at Bethel to Pastor Eugene Peterson, to the Apostle St. John, to Martin Luther, and back to us. And if you listen, you'll hear the flight of the angel in Revelation 14, that angel proclaiming an eternal gospel for all the world to hear, including me and including you. We start about exactly 1 year ago today here at Bethel. I was feeling overwhelmed. Because in the span of 10 days or so, I had been caring for a woman in long-term hospice. A different woman had told me that week a wild prophetic type of warning about a situation. Then there was another wild, out of left field pastoral care conversation, the kind of situation where you think, "God, how did you get me here?" I had a conversation with a friend in ministry, listening as he was telling me about going through a major change in his church. All told, there were like 9 critical pastoral care appointments in those 2 weeks, and I was overwhelmed. Now, for the next part of my story to make sense, to have context, you have to know that for the last decade, I have come to view my ministry as pastor through the words of Pastor Eugene Peterson. He's a Presbyterian pastor. I know, Presbyterian on Lutheran Reformation, but we'll get over that. He served a congregation in Maryland for nearly 30 years, writing as he went, starting just sharing these incredibly beautiful insights into God's Word and pastoral ministry through many, many books, and many people know of him because of his popular paraphrase of the Bible, The Message. And Peterson wrote that the role of the pastor is to proclaim and interpret Scripture, represent the mercy and forgiveness of Christ, train people as disciples, guide people in a life of prayer, and encourage faith. And that's how I'd been viewing the ministry, and it's how I still view ministry, and that's what I had been trying to do in those 10 days a year ago. But I was feeling overwhelmed. I was proclaiming and mercying and forgiving and praying and encouraging, and it felt like that was all taking its toll. And it was in the middle of one of the longer days, something like 4 pastoral care appointments, along with meeting a pastor who I was asking if he'd accept a handoff and care for someone who lived closer to his church. In fact, it was in the middle of that conversation with that pastor that I ignored a phone call. It's a strange area code, probably a robocall. But when I got back to my car, I noticed that that strange area code left me a message. Now, my voicemail transcribes my voicemail. You know, you have that. You can look and just kind of see. It doesn't always do it very well. But I could make out the words, "Montana" and "Janice Peterson." And my hands started to shake as I pressed play on the voicemail. And this is part of what I heard. Your parishioners, and she wanted I sat in the car crying, and I don't cry very often. Not believing that this wonderful man and his wonderful wife would take the time to call me. Not believing that someone from here would go through the trouble of writing to them and tell them about me. I sat there crying because I was overwhelmed. But in a different way now, I was overwhelmed with emotion that God would work out that timing to bring me this encouragement right when I was feeling so frayed. It's the flight of the angel with the eternal gospel. The eternal gospel that I needed in that day, coming through the servants of Eugene and Janice Peterson, the flying angel proclaiming that eternal gospel, the Father encouraging me in Jesus, and to realize that Jesus is the one who truly does the work of pastoring. Proclaiming, mercying, forgiving, praying, encouraging. I'm an under-shepherd. He is the good shepherd. I was overwhelmed, and I have a habit of doing this, of trying to do it all myself. And the call from the Petersons reminded me that it is Jesus and his angels that proclaim the eternal gospel. God invites us to come alongside them, but he provides the Holy Spirit, the energy, the work of ministry. This past Monday, October 22nd, 1 year plus 3 days after that phone call, Pastor Eugene Peterson passed away, dying in faith in the Lord. And his family noted that Eugene died on Monday, the day he always reserved as his Sabbath, a day of rest during his pastoral ministry. And so this week I turned to Pastor Peterson, searching his words, found his meditation on the book of Revelation, since that was the text I had chosen to preach on today. And when I opened the book, the significance shook me. The book in the preface begins this way: "Every Monday, I leave the routines of my daily work and hike along the streams and through the forests of Maryland. The first hours of that walk are uneventful. I am tired, sluggish, inattentive. Then birdsong begins to penetrate my senses, and the play of light on oak leaves and asters catches my interest. I've been walking these forest trails for years, but I am ever and again finding an insect that I have never seen before, startling me with its combined aspects of being ferocious and fragile. How many more are there to be found? A rock formation, absolutely new, brings its age-old past into my present. This creation is so complex, so intricate, so profuse with life and form and color and scent, and I walk through it deaf and dumb and blind, groping my way, stupidly absorbed in putting one foot in front of the other, seeing a mere fraction of what there is. The Monday walks wake me up, a little anyways, to what I miss in my sleepy routines. The wakefulness lasts sometimes through Thursday, occasionally all the way to Sunday, and now that he has died in the faith, that wakefulness will last for an eternity with Jesus." But he goes on, "What walking through Maryland forests does to my physical senses, reading Revelation does to my faith perceptions. For I am as dull to the marvelous world of Christ's covenant promise as I am to his creation. But not if St. John's Revelation has its way. A few paragraphs into the revelation and the adrenaline starts rushing through the arteries of my faith and I am on my feet, alive, tingling. It is impossible to read the revelation and not have my imagination aroused. Maryland forests and St. John's apocalypse show me over and over again that when I am bored, it is no fault of creation or God's promise. Instead, familiarity dulls my perception. Hurry scatters my attention. Ambition fogs my intelligence. Selfishness restricts my range. Anxiety robs me of appetite. Envy distracts me from what is good and blessed right before me. And then Monday's unhurried pace and St. John's apocalyptic vision bring me to my senses, both body and soul. And as I come to Revelation, he says, my primary question has not been, what does this mean, but how does this work in the community of believers? I have taken the position that Revelation does not primarily call for decipherment, as if it were written in code, but that it evokes wonder, releasing metaphors that resonate meanings and refract insights in the praying imagination. Eugene Peterson stood before God's word and he saw that the Holy Spirit opened him up to see all the wonders in God's word. And that is what he tried to over and over again bring to his church and to his readers. It's the flying angel of the eternal gospel. And again, not that Eugene Peterson was the angel, but that the angel would work through Eugene Peterson to over and over again bring that gospel. And the angel worked through Martin Luther. Martin Luther having this same discovery of God at work in the scriptures. Luther who was just angry with God. How could God say that he is righteous but then come and condemn us sinners? And he was struggling with that until he realized that in Romans, Paul wasn't just saying we have a righteous God and he's coming to judge. But we have a righteous God who is coming to judge, but that righteous God will give us his righteousness, will do that work in us, will make us holy in his sight. It's the flying angel of the eternal gospel that God has sent to the church over and over and over again. Here's how Eugene Peterson describes the work of that angel. In Revelation 14, preaching is the act in which the word of God is proclaimed in awe and adoration among those who worship. This many-dimensioned, world-making, salvation-shaping, reality-orienting word of God is always under threat of being silenced or muffled. It is silenced by closing the book in which it is written. It is silenced by the sound and fury of the daily traffic. It is silenced by the buzzing ambition and covetousness in our own brains. Preaching gives the silenced word sound again, making it resonate in our ears so that we deal with God not as a memory, but as immediately and personally spoken to us. Spoken to us, not just an angel way back then or some angel we're waiting for the future, but the angel flying with the eternal gospel, continuing to proclaim that gospel into our lives. But then he goes on. But preaching tells us nothing we don't already know. It has all been said so many times, which is my struggle as a pastor. I feel like I've said these things before. And it is, after all, written in the scriptures where you can look it up at your own convenience. And in a political world in which so many things are happening at once, wars, alliances, negotiations, tragedies, new leaders announcing hope, study groups coming up with plans that will solve the problems of famine and war, it is certainly urgent that we keep up with the news so that we can be informed and act responsibly in the world. And with all this news to attend to, and certainly there has been plenty of news this week, who has time for preaching? Which is the furthest thing from news because we already know what we're going to say. We're apt to think this way. Until in the middle of the battle, we find our courage flagging, our commitment wavering, and we realize that the world is not primarily a place where information is stored and retrieved, but it is a spiritual contest in which we are embattled. And then we are grateful for a proclamation from some mid-heaven pulpit telling us again what God says about what is happening, again announcing the eternal gospel. I was caught up and my commitment was wavering. I was flagging in energy a year ago because I was trying to do it by myself, and I figured I got to pay attention to the news of the pastoral care needs, but I had not been opening the book. I had assumed I knew the gospel. I just need to pay attention to the needs. And the Petersons called me, a flying angel of the eternal gospel, to remind me again that the energy and the spirit and the hope and the vision, all of it comes from the eternal gospel, not from me. We all need proclamation from some mid-heaven pulpit, some mid-heaven angel, so that God can tell us again each day about what is happening around us. And what he says in the gospel is this, that the righteousness of God is what God uses to make you righteous. And he makes you holy and blameless and right in his sight so that you are welcomed into eternal life and into his holy presence. God takes who he is and puts it at work for you and in you to give you that eternal hope. May you rejoice in this word that has been delivered to you. Amen.